through a book of the Bible. There's two books in the New Testament, Romans and Hebrews, that are just chock full of Christian doctrine. The epistles are great. They're addressing different specific problems in specific churches and whatnot. But when Paul wrote Romans, he was basically giving a doctrinal treatise on the entire Christian faith. And the writer of Hebrews, whoever that is, and we've talked about that, we're not 100% sure who that is kind of doing the same thing. Our series is called Eyes Upon Jesus. It's my firm belief that if you really understand who and what Jesus is, it ought to be the most motivating thing in your Christian walk. Too many times in the days that we live in, we have people that say things like, well, you know, Jesus was a great moral leader, but so was Buddha, and so was Vishnu, and so was, Joseph Smith, and the list goes on and on, and they're all great moral leaders, and we are do good to study all of them. But the problem with that way of thinking is you're putting Jesus kind of at the same level as mortal men. Buddha himself never once ever claimed to be defined or divine in any way, shape, or form. He was just a wise man who, quite honestly, had some really good ideas about how people should deal with each other. No one has the credentials that Jesus has. So our text today says, why is Jesus, we're going to talk about why is Jesus greater than angels? In the time that Hebrews was written, it was sort of a thing in the Jewish community to have a very, very high opinion of angels. In fact, some other religions just deified angels. They prayed to angels. There were churches in the New Testament times that were sort of drifting back in that direction where they were venerating angels. But our text today talks about how Jesus is greater than the angels. We're going to be learning some really powerful truths about him. In the 12th chapter, the writer challenges us. He writes that since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we should run with patience the race that is set before us. And that's what we're going to do every day. We're running the race that is the Christian life. By the way, the Christian life isn't a competition. It's not about getting ahead of anybody or being more Christian than the other guy. Because there again, your eyes are in the wrong direction. The Christian life should never be a lateral thing. If you're looking at other Christians to see how you stack up, you're looking in the wrong direction. If there wasn't one other Christian on the entire planet besides you, it wouldn't be hard to figure out. I'd only look in one direction. But you see, as far as Jesus is concerned, you're the only Christian on the planet. So looking at other Christians is not the way to go. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. We sang that song. So here's a focus verse for the whole series. Let's see if we can get this to work. Let's see if we have Hebrews 12 up there. Oh my gosh, it worked. I'm excited. In Hebrews 12, it says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We'll just leave that up there for a minute. This is the Jesus with which we have to do. And the book of Hebrews is trying to get us all to understand how much greater he is. Our actual text today is I'm just going to read it to you from the book. Is Hebrews, we ended last week with Hebrews 1 through 3. We're going to pick up with Hebrews 4 through 14. But I want to back up a second, read the tail end of 3 says this. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe. You will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? All of these are Old Testament quotes. These are Old Testament quotes. He's pointing out, the writer of Hebrews is pointing out that this idea of Jesus being the above all the angels is not new. It's been considered on and on and on. In verse 4, it says, having become as superior to the angels as the name he has inherited, more excellent than theirs. So the best name for Jesus is God. His name is superior to the names of the angels. So here's a Bible trivia test for you. How many angels are identified by name in the Bible? You don't have to name them, but how many? Three? Two? Three? Two? Three? Three? I see three back there. The answer, five? Going once, going twice. The answer is actually three. And I had to look that one up myself, to be honest with you. But listen to this. The only archangel mentioned by name in Scripture is Michael, which means leader angel. The name Michael means who is like God. The second angel named in the Bible is Gabriel, and his name means God is great. The third angel named in the Bible is actually a fallen angel. Lucifer. That's right. But oddly enough, anybody know the Lucifer's name? What does it mean? Morning star. Close. Angel of light or angel of morning star, depending on your translation. That's the name. That's what his name means. But what does our text say? That the name of Jesus is greater than the names of the angels. It's greater than any other name. And the name of Jesus is greater than any name of the angel because it means God saves. So number one, Jesus has a greater name than the angels. Number two, Jesus is God's son. The angels are God's servants. The angels have no power over anything. The angels have no part of the universe that they are responsible for. Every time you see angels in Scripture, they are sent to do the work of God. They themselves have no authority. We've got to be very careful with this. When you say that Jesus is the name above all names, is greater than any of the angels, we have to remember that as great as you want to make out the angels to be and talk about archangels and all that kind of stuff, the name of Jesus is greater than all of them because Jesus is God's son. The Bible says in verse 5 in our text here, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? It says right in the text. It's the only one, he never said that to an angel. He's only said it to Jesus. You are my son. This letter was being written to believers who had probably heard some false teachers claiming that Jesus was just a powerful angel. And there are folks out there today that deny his deity, but they'll say, well, he's a very powerful angel, but he's not actually the Son of God. Of course, the problem with that, it literally violates the Word of God, which is Scripture. And there are many voices today telling us Jesus was less than God. The writer makes it clear Jesus wasn't just an angel or a lower being. God never said to an angel, you are my son. But when Jesus came up from being baptized, you remember that story? He comes up out of the waters of baptism and the skies open up. And God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved son whom I love. listen to him. The angels are called sons of God in one place when they're described collectively. When you're talking about angels, they are in a couple of places referred to as sons of God. But you see, if you understand the concepts, they're not saying that they are the son, multiple sons of God. They're just describing them as a group, but not as individuals. Only Jesus has been called the beloved son. No individual angel is ever called a son of God. The title is reserved for Jesus alone. So remember that the main role of angels is to serve. They serve God. And at the end of our text here in verse 14, it says this: are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?